Hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for joining me in our Bible study today. We are finishing up the study of 1 Samuel chapter 16 today. If you haven't heard the first part of that study, you need to probably listen to the podcast preceding this one. We had just finished talking about how God used this 15 years of very difficult time in David's life while Saul's still the king. Much of the time, David's running for his life. He doesn't know where his next meal's coming from sometimes. He's hiding in the desert caves. And very, very difficult time. And yet, God used those difficult times because David kept his eyes on the Lord. He used those difficult times to strengthen his spirit, to train him, to teach him, and to make him deeper in the Lord. And so that shows up in many of the Psalms that David wrote during this particular time of his life. And we looked at several passages from several of those Psalms to conclude the previous study. So it's wonderful that God gave these to us at this particular time in David's life so we can know that's when they were written. And we have these words to lift us into the presence of God that we can use still today when we're going through tough times, when we're going through struggles, when we're not sure about the future. We can look to God through these Psalms, and God uses it to strengthen us, encourage us, hold us close. It's so good for God to give us these beautiful Psalms and for them to have come through the life of David during these early years. So now let's look at verse 14. And before we do, let's ask God to help us understand it. Father, we're about to look at some more of your word. And we always want to realize that, yes, this is your word, and you have taught us through your word. You've written things here. Sometimes we have difficulty with it, Lord. You know that. You know us. We look at it, and it doesn't quite fit maybe the way we think it ought to fit, and we struggle. So, Lord, help us in those times just to trust you and to know that even if we don't understand everything, we don't have to understand everything. But we can dig and we can seek to see you more clearly. And of course, hopefully we'll be more like Jesus as we get ourselves immersed in your word more and more, letting you fill our hearts and minds with your truth. So speak to us now and be our teacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 14 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So once again, Saul has shown no signs of any permanent repentance, any deep, profound, genuine repentance. He has periods of remorse. Yes, we see that when we study his life. But he never seems to change from within. And so we get the feeling that instead of responding to God's conviction during these years with humility and teachability, he responds with irritation. And so eventually God says, "Okay, Saul, if that's the way you want it, have it your way." And he leaves him to himself. He leaves Saul to his own devices, to his own ways. And you and I know, of course, because we know the rest of the story, that leads eventually to his destruction. Very sad. But it reminds us, doesn't it, of something Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. Remember this? "Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God," God did what? Do you remember? God gave them up. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And you can read that whole sordid passage there in Romans chapter 1. I just read you verse 28. But you learn more about what it means when we just continually rebel against God, refuse to acknowledge God, refuse to accept God's sovereignty over us, want to claim our own sovereignty over our own selves. God eventually says, "Okay, I'll give you what you want. You can have it." And it leads to horrific results and consequences. He says here, an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. An evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Does that sound a little strange to you? Do you think God actually sends demons to torment people? Well, I don't know about you, but I can at least imagine how God might use demonic oppression to eventually cause at least some people to realize I need God. I'm in trouble. And for some people, maybe it causes them to cry out to God in genuine humility, genuine repentance, crying out for mercy and help. So it makes sense to me that God might sometimes turn demons loose on people, hopefully to get their attention and to bring them to genuine repentance. There's no question God can use demons for his own purposes. He's done it many times. You remember what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12 about himself after he'd seen these incredible revelations and visions that God had given him? He said in verse 7, "So to keep me from being too conceited or puffed up by the surpassing greatness of these revelations." So Paul said, to keep me from being proud, to keep me from being arrogant, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too conceited. And it's interesting that in the Greek, the word messenger there is the word angelos. That's the word for angel. So a messenger or an angel from Satan was given to Paul to keep him from being puffed up. He was harassed to keep him humble, to keep him teachable. You remember what he said to that same church, it's the church at Corinth, in the first letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. They had a problem in that church, a horrible sin problem, with a young man who was living in immorality with his stepmother. And the church was having a little bit of trouble figuring out where the balance is between grace and holiness, church discipline. And Paul gave them very strong instructions for this kind of sin, this immorality. He said, you are to deliver this man to Satan. Deliver him to Satan. Turn him over to Satan's work, to evil spirits. Why? He says, for the destruction of the flesh. Whoa, why? So that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So God can use demons for his own purpose and potentially for our long-range good if we will finally just repent and quit fighting God. So an evil spirit from the Lord tormented Saul. Now, look what happens as a result of that. Verse 15. And Saul's servants said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who's skillful in playing the lyre. And when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. So they're figuring out a possible solution here, and they think music may be the solution. Now, the best solution would be repentance at this point, but that's not in the cards. That's not in the offing. He's not going to repent. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. One of the young men answered, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who's skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, a man of good presence. The Lord's with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David, your son, who's with the sheep. Isn't this fascinating how God's working, putting these pieces together? And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David remain in my service, for he's found favor in my sight. And whenever the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So while the ultimate goal might have been for Saul to repent, which he would not do, God is teaching us something else here. He sends this evil spirit to torment Saul, but when David plays music, the spirit leaves Saul. The spirit doesn't like that music. What's God teaching us here? Maybe he's trying to teach Saul, maybe he's trying to teach us something about worship, you think? You know, there are some clues in the Bible, and we shouldn't go too far with this. All we've got are a few clues that maybe Satan's primary job before he rebelled against God was to lead the angels to worship God. It must have been something to behold. Can you imagine that? The angels of God, the created angels of God, led by Lucifer himself, praising and worshiping God, the Most High. Must have been awesome worship. But you know what happened? Satan decided he wanted some of that worship for himself. And so in his heart, he rebelled, and of course he fell. And it seems from that time on, he has really, really hated worship of the true God. It makes sense, doesn't it? But the end result of that is, if we ever suspect that we're being attacked by Satan, by demonic powers, one of the best things we can do is worship God. Think about it. What is worship anyway? What's happening when we worship God? Well, what we're doing is we're proclaiming the truth about God, about who He is, about what He's done, either through singing or through, it's just a spoken word, but that's worship. We're worshiping God by proclaiming the truth about God. Do you remember in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, right at the end, chapter 6, Paul says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." And then he goes on to say, you need to put on the full armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, because he said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Remember that. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world. Therefore, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, do you remember when he described the armor? What the very first piece of armor he mentioned? He said, be sure to put on this first piece of armor when you're fighting against the enemy. And we should be always fighting against the enemy. We have an enemy, Satan and his demons. So what's the first piece of armor? Do you remember? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. Truth. The truth, especially the truth about God. So a great way to proclaim the truth about God and put on that belt of truth and blow away the lies of Satan and the deceptions of Satan is to start worshiping God. You see, our little brains aren't big enough to hold all of this. We've studied the truths about God. We've probably memorized some of the attributes of God. We know a little bit about who He is, what He's told us about Himself, His character, His nature. We know a little bit about what He's done. But our little brains can't keep all that in our conscious mind. So when we worship God, we come before Him and we say, Lord, I want to acknowledge that You are, and then you can start listing things. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the first and the last, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. You're mighty God. There's none else. You're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You're Jehovah Rophe, my healer. You're Jehovah Shalom. You're my God of peace. You know, on and on and on. We got. You can look on our website if you want to. Go to the spiritual warfare pages, and you'll find a whole long list of some of these characteristics of God. And those are wonderful things to just recite back to God, not to mention all the awesome psalms that teach us wonderful things about who God is and what He's like, praise and worship psalms. You can read those through the book of Psalms, and that's appropriate because many of them are written by David. Not to mention all the incredible, wonderful worship songs that God is giving men today as they write wonderful songs of worship that we can used to praise God and worship God. When David began the music, the evil spirit had to go. Demons just seem allergic to true worship of the true God. They don't like it. So if you're being harassed, worship is a great way to go. God's given us this powerful weapon. We've got a powerful enemy, but he's nothing compared to God, of course. And God's given us a powerful weapon that we can use to overcome Him. We need to use it. Keep worshiping God. Just make up your mind right now, whatever happens, we're going to keep worshiping God. So, Father, thank You for this passage of Scripture. And we know You work in strange ways sometimes, Lord. We know You even use evil. You use sin. You use evil spirits. You use Satan to accomplish all Your purposes. Thank You that You're giving us opportunities to overcome. And we know that He who overcomes will have the right to sit with You on Your throne. And Lord, we are looking forward to that. because you are the one who's doing it. You're the one who gives us the grace. You're the one who teaches us these things. You're the one who gives us these weapons. You're the one who overcomes Satan as we do what you've told us to do. So help us to wear this belt of truth that you've given us. Help us to wear it well and to worship you well and to give you great praise and honor and glory and to do it in such a way that you draw us closer and closer to you and that we see you clearer and clearer and the enemy flees. Thank you, Father, for giving us these opportunities. Help us keep growing. We want to be more like Jesus. And Lord, we know we've got a long way to go. All of us have. So keep us teachable. Keep us humble. Please don't let us get puffed up and arrogant. Help us to take your word more seriously than ever. And help us to bring you great glory and great honor in these bodies that we have as long as you give us breath to breathe. Because we know the time is coming soon when we'll lay them aside. And we're looking forward to that, Lord. We're excited about it. So thank you so much that you've got a wonderful future for us. In our Lord Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.